So today's in Yaakov. Previously, we were talking about out to David HaMelech, how we were talking about the mitzvah as of a king and how it, the specifically a building of a mikdash and destroying a Molech, the order of that. We mentioned Shlomo HaMelech in the process. So now Rish Lakish goes into further discussion about, the Gemara in general goes into further discussion about Shlomo. So Amar Rish Lakish says, B'tchila Malach Shlomo Elyonim, originally Shlomo ruled those above. There's different impression what it means, those above. The most simple explanation is it refers to Shadim. We know Ashmana, we know Shlomo Malach wasn't overcame Ashmedai. There's a whole story. Ibn Yavin Yehuda went to capture went to find the Shamir. He was told that Ashmedai knows its location, so he went to got up. He went to found that Ashmedai had a cave, and outside the cave he had a spring with where he'd drink water each day. So he drained the water and replaced it with wine. Ashmedai came back, realized something's wrong, but eventually got thirsty, so decided to drink anyways, drank the wine, got drunk, and fell asleep. While he was asleep, put on chains with engraved with Hashem's name on them, on Ashmedai, and captured Ashmedai. So now Shlomo, after getting the information about where the Shamir is, still kept Ashmedai with him. And by extension, he had power over all the Shadim. Other explanation is that it means the Malachim. That Shlomo was in charge of the Malachim. The Yad Rama favors this explanation is that that's the Malachim. Obviously, Shlomo is not in charge of the Malachim, only Hashem, they're Malachim, the Malachim of Hashem. They don't have any identity other than to serve Hashem. But the fact that Shlomo was able to understand them and able to direct them to some extent and different stuff. So, to some extent, he had reign even over the above. Additionally, within the Jews themselves, most kings, their reign, their power, the way how they exert influence, is their might. Their military, their money, their power. The Shlomo, the way how he ruled was his wisdom. He was the wisest king. So, his wisdom, with his wisdom, he ruled not over their physical aspects, as a king who rules with might, with physical power does, but he ruled with his spiritual, with his mind. He was able to reach even the Jews' spiritual aspects and rule over that too. So, that's based in the Chassam Sefer. In the beginning, Shlomo ruled over the above. Shlomo, v'yeshiv Shlomo al kisei Hashem. As the pasuk says, Shlomo sat on Hashem's throne. We quoted this pasuk previously to prove that yesterday in Yaakov to prove that Kisei Hashem refers to the throne of the king. So now we're discussing it further, or explaining that it's proof that Shlomo ruled over even the Malachim, or over the Shadim. The Mepharshim is and Rashi's explanation that again it means the Shadim. By pointing out that Malachim, it says, are above the Kisei HaKavod. So, this says the Shem is on Hashem's throne, which this means that he ruled over everything below it. That wouldn't include Malachim, but it would include Shadim. It would include demons. So, however, later on in his reign, he only ruled over those lower. Whether he lost his power of the Malachim or over the Shadim, as Gemara tells elsewhere, the story of how Ashmonai tricked his way out of captivity. He took David's place. So took Shlomo's place. So Shlomo lost his power over the above, but he still had his power over the below. Shnemar ki hu reida b'chol evar nar b'tiftach v'ad aza. As the pasuk says, he rules over the entire area across the sea from Tiftach to Aza. That implies only only the world, only places on earth, not the heavens. So where's Tiftach? Tiftach? We know where Aza is. Aza shows up plenty of times throughout Torah, but where's Tiftach? So Rabbi Shmuel disagree. Chad Amar Tiftach b'seif ha'olam ba'aza b'seif ha'olam. One says that Tiftach from one side and Aza on the other side. The Chad Amar Tiftach ba'aza b'hadi adadi. The other says that they're right next to each other. Hashem Shmalach al Tiftach ve'al Aza kach malach al kol adam kolay. And just like he ruled over Tiftach and Aza, so too his dominion ruled over the entire extended over the entire world. He wasn't the literal king of the world, because there were other kings. You know, there was Malchus Shva, Malchus Mitzrayim, Malchus Tzar, just to name a few that are referred to in the Pesukim, even during Shlomo's reign. So there were other kings, they were all subservient to Shlomo. They all recognized Shlomo's power and wisdom and importance, and accepted him basically. Like he had some degree of dominion over their over them. They'd even send him in taxes. He started off above, then he ended up below, but still over the entire world. Then afterwards, he lost us control over the rest of the world, but still ruled over Jews. As the pasuk says, I Kehelas is the name that Shlomo refers to himself by. Throughout his sefer, he gathered Jews around to study Torah and to show them how futile chasing after this world's pleasures are, and how important chasing after Torah is. He says, Aikahelis was king over the entire Jewish nation. He doesn't say over the entire world, he says over the entire Jewish nation. So I think that's at one point, and he was king not over the entire world, but still over the Jewish nation. Then he lost even that and became king only over Yerushalayim. Just the nation rebelled against him and didn't accept him. Later in his life, the Pesukim talk about how Shlomo had different enemies in his home. One of them was Yeravam ben Nevat, who at the time wasn't king yet, but he told off Shlomo and rebuked him publicly. That rebuke caused that both the Jews didn't listen to him anymore. He really had power in Yerushalayim. Shemar divik ha'alas ben David melech b'yushloim. As the pasuk says, the first pasuk of Kehelas, these are the words of Kehelas as king of Yerushalayim. He's only king of Yerushalayim. And after that, he lost control even over that, and only had rule over his own palace, his own bed. As the book says, behold, Shlomo HaMelech's bed, there's 60 men surrounding it, each holding swords. That they needed that kind of security, and it shows that he didn't have he wasn't able to guard even in the outside walls of Yerushalayim. He needed security in his own bedroom because he didn't control anything outside that area, outside of the palace. Eventually, he lost even that and ruled over only over his immediate possessions. Literally he ruled over his staff, as his walking stick. He lost literally everything and went around as an ordinary person. Shemar my yisrin la de mechal mol gamer, as the pasuk says, what purpose is there for a person in all his hard work? Uchsev, and the pasuk says, zeha yechalkim im mechal moli. This was my portion from all my work. He laments that after his entire 40 years of reign, he comes out with practically nothing. So, Rav Shmuel, chadam er matzeh, v'chadam er goydei. Rav Shmuel disagreed what he had. One says just his walking stick, and one says that is just his clothes. So, he was literally down to nothing. As we'll see, there's a machlokes Rav Shmuel whether after the incident with Ashmedai he went back to becoming king, or he stayed a regular person. This is according to the opinion that he never went back to becoming king. Then he continued dwindling down until he ended up with absolutely nothing. According to the other opinion, in Hinam and Tetzah Shal Shlema, it's explained in a different Gemara that he had the 60 guards to protect him from Ashmedai. He was so afraid of Ashmedai after he got back his throne that he had 60 guards constantly surrounding his bed to protect him, and just in case Ashmedai tries to come back. So according to this opinion, he didn't get that. All he got was that he kept going down until all he had was bed, and then not even that. All he had was his staff. All he had was a stick or clothes and stuff. Tumar asks, Hadar or Lai Hadar? Did he come back to becoming king or not? Rav Shmuel, Machlokes Rav Shmuel, Chadam or Hadar, Chadam or Lai Hadar. His Machlokes is whether or not he returned. Manam or Lai Hadar, Melech Vahedyot. To Malach Vedyat. The Bidden said that he did not return, said that he was just a king, and then he just went into a regular civilian. Mandam Ar Hadar, the one said that he returned, Malach Vahadya to Malach. He was a king, and then he went to being a civilian, then he ultimately returned back to becoming a king. But even when he returned back to becoming king, he was still a weak king, having lost almost everything. Shama's mistake, was that there's three major mitzvahs on a king. to not have too many wives, to not have too much money, and to not have too much horses. All three of them, the Pesukim give reasons for. Shlomo HaMelech felt, hey, I'm the wisest person in existence in all of history that ever was or will be. And so, I know how to make sure that my wives will all behave. I know how to make sure that my horses will not lead Jews to go back to Egypt. And I know how to make sure that my gold will not turn myself astray.
What?
Turn my heart astray. Doesn't say that does not turn his heart astray. He figured, he's so wise, he's not going to be turned astray by the gold. However, when the Torah gives a reason for something, it that's the physical reason. The fact is, even the Mishpatim, and the Chazal tell us to treat a Mishpatim like Chokim, the reason being that Mishpatim really are Chokim. Mishpatim and Adias and all these stuff that are logical or we're given reason for. Yeah, we're given reason for, but the real deeper reason is because Hashem said so. Why did Hashem say so? Yeah, there's an explanation given in Pesukim, but there's also deeper explanations. Ultimately, he follows Hashem's will, not because as we think we can have exceptions to the rule, but because that we're exceptions to the rule, but because Hashem said so, we follow. Do first, question later. It's a tremendous lesson on the Kabbalah soil. The Pisgah, the Gemara now refers back to the Mishnah before this. The Mishnah said, first, it's Lathis Lederach. A king is able to break through any fences as he feels necessary to in order to make a path for himself to his fields or to wherever he's going. So Tanur Rabbanan, explain other examples of advantages that a king has over regular people to demonstrate his importance, to demonstrate his might. Artis melachim lemelach. If the Jews wage a war against an enemy nation and win and conquer that enemy nation, and they loot their entire nation, the king's treasuries, their cities, everything. So what happens to all the loot? So the treasuries goes the king's treasuries go straight to the king, straight to the Jewish king. The king's treasuries have crowns and crown jewels and other kingly stuff. It's not proper for a non-king to be wearing in kingly garments and kingly jewelry and stuff. So go straight to the king. Any other loot that they get, half of it goes to the king and half of it goes to the nation. This is a nation, and half of it goes to the soldiers, and half of it goes to those who stayed behind to guard. As we find throughout Chumash and throughout Tanakh, various times where the Jews went to war, and it describes the division, notably in the war in Parshat Matos against Midian, it goes into full detail of how the division went. So, Amarle Abayler of Dimi, Abaya asked of Dimi, Vermila Aller of Acha, or other say Yasra of Acha, Bishlama Isis Melachim, Lamalach, that makes sense, the king's treasuries go to the king, Archimimosa. It's proper that a king, that kingly your objects are only fit to be for a king to have. Ashar Biza, Ashar Bezin, the rest of it, it's that a loot, Masala Melach, Masala Minola. Where do we know that the king has half of it? So my answer is, Dechsev, as the Pasuk says, Vayim Shechu El Hashem Lenugget at El Tzadik. The Pasuk in the Vayamim, it mentions how Shlomo HaMelech was appointed as king, and Tzadik was appointed as Kohen Gadol. In actuality, it was Shlomo HaMelech himself who, when he took the throne, one of his first acts as king was to take Abiathar out and replace him with Tzadik, as his father David had told him before he died. But the fact that the pasuk just connects the two, that Hashem appointed Shema as a king and Tzadik as a Kohen Gadol, so makish nugget le Tzadik. There's a hekish of the ruler of the king to Tzadik. So mat Tzadik machsalayim machsalachiv, af nugget machsalayim machsalachiv. Just like Tzadik, just like Kohen Gadol gets half of the lacham upon him. When the lacham upon him is divided every week, then half of it goes to the Kohenim and half of it goes to the Kohen Gadol. So, just like it's like that with the Kohen Gadol, also too, it's like it with a king, that the king gets half of the loot and the nation gets the other half. So the Tzadik go from Nolan, and how do we know that the Kohen Gadol gets half the Elachim upon him? The Tanya, it says in the Brisa, Rabbi Eimer, V'hoysel Aaron Elevonim. The Pasuk says that the Elachim upon him should be for Aaron and his children. It could have just said, it should be a gift for the Kohenim. It specifies La'aron Levanav, that teaches us Mechsa La'aron and Mechsa Levanav. Half of it goes to Aaron, i.e. the Kohen Gadol, and half of it goes to his children, i.e. any other Kohenim. So the Mishnah discusses the mitzvah of the king and says as lo yaver le nashim al yudches, that he's only not allowed to have more than 18 wives. So the pasuk in the Torah says lo yaver le nashim, he's not allowed to have too many wives. It doesn't say how many is too many. So Menachem, how do we know that too many means more than 18? Maybe it means more than 30. Maybe it means more than 10. Maybe it means more than 1. So, Shnemar, the pasuk says, Mevoldu David banim b'chevrein. David had children in chevrein. V'hi b'chare anam lachinayim yizyeres. M'shnei ilkilav la'vigayel v'gemer. M'ash lishi av shalom ben ma'icha v'gemer. V'rabi adeniya ben chagis. V'chmish yishav atay ben avital. V'ashishi yisrem la'agla. Ish yisavid v'gemer. It lists David's his children that he had when he was in chevrein. His oldest is Amnon, to his wife Achinoam. His second was Kilav, to Abigail. His third was Avshalom, Memaicha. Fourth, Adonia ben Chagis. Fifth, Shatya ben Avital. Sixth was Yitzram, to a woman named Egla. The Gemara will explain who that is. The Kamarle, a Navi, and then later on, we see that the Navi, that nothing Navi tells David in the instance of Bathsheba, the Navi's rebuking him. Why do you take this woman? You shouldn't have taken her. part of it, he mentions, look, you want and more wives? I could have given you more wives. He says, v'imat, if you have too many wives, v'sifa l'cha kahena v'kahena. I can add to you like these and like these. So, kahena v'kahena, so kahena shis v'kahena shis. He has six wives, so that's another six and six. Navi's obviously not talking about Bathsheba because he's saying, if you wouldn't have taken Bathsheba, I could have added to you six and six. I could have added you like this and like this. So since we know that he had six wives before Bathsheba, then that means in the maximum of 18. Because Hashem wouldn't allow him to have, Hashem wouldn't have said, I would have given you more than what you're allowed. Is Hashem saying it to, I'll give you exactly what you're allowed. So have a time straight. A 6 plus 6 plus 6, 6 and 3 is 18. And I asked, Michal, but Michal was David's wife before her, before he even came to Chavrin. You know, when David became king, then one of his first acts was that he took Michal from Palti. So how come that's not mentioned here? So, Amar Rav, Rav explains, Ezra Zu Michal. This woman that you said, the sixth child, Yisra'el, was born to, Ezra, so Ezra refers to Michal. Lomenikar Shema Ezra, why is she called Ezra? She chaviva alav ke Ezra. She's dear to him like a calf. It was basically a pet name. Nowadays, it's also like my little lamb. So, back then, he was calling her my lamb. V'chachoymer, and similarly it says, L'lecharashim be'aglossi, v'goymer. When Shimshon gave a riddle to the Plishtim, what the answer was he was referring to a lion which he had torn apart and bees made a nest in its carcass and produced honey. So there wasn't any way that the question were gonna get the answer to that riddle. So eventually they pressured his wife, and his wife in turn pressured him, and through that the Plishtim got the answer. So Shimshon complained annoyedly, if not for the fact that you plowed with my calf, he's referring to his wife by a pet name, but as a calf, then you wouldn't have gotten that answer. And the resolved the bet, he proceeded to kill all Plishtim and to take their possessions to give to pay off the bet. So, point being that we see elsewhere that Ezra is not a name, but refers to, but it's a pet name for a wife that's especially important. In this case, the wife that's especially important being Michal, who David had to fight for and had to go through much trial and tribulation, as we saw earlier, that he had to go to Palti, and he had to go to Ushal, and all different stuff they had to go to get her, so she was especially dear to him. So the Gemara asks, yeah, exactly, yeah. L'michal b'ashal, what's it? May have a bottom the Michal B'nai, but did Michal actually have children? What's it? L'michal b'ashal, he's a vlad on Yei Meisa. Michal b'ashal did not have children until the day she died. When the Aron was being brought to Yerushalayim, David was dancing with extra zeal and extra excitement in honor of the Aron. Michal was embarrassed. She'd seen how her father behaved. Shaul was extra careful with sneers. We know that even when he was using the bathroom, he'd take absolute care to cover himself as much as physically possible, and And only use the bathroom in secluded areas, and basically, in general, he was a high level of sneeze. David, in his dancing, was exposing his legs. Which Michal felt wasn't right. So she complained about it to David. David argued, this is in honor of the Torah. This is in honor of the Torah, of Hashem, of the Arain. Such dancing is only proper for the Arain. Because Michal didn't recognize the importance of this honor of Hashem, she was cursed that she did not have children. That till the day she died, she did not have children. So, Gemara answers Amar Abchista, Ad Yay Mesa Laisa Allah, Viyay Mesa Haisa, Hay Allah. Pasuk says she did not have children until the day she died. That implies until, but on the day she died, she was able to have children. So, however, the Gemara challenges this, Michti. Where are the children enumerated? Mechavrein. They were enumerated when David's king in Chavrein. This is the story of Michal, where she is cursed not have children, happened in Yerushalayim. Michal, I look at the window, saw the king dancing with all his might before Hashem, and it was embarrassing, and it was shame-worthy to her in her heart. It was wrong. She took her punishment in this world. The pasuk continues by saying that she didn't have children. She took her punishment in this world. She didn't have children. So in that case, how could Egla be a Michal if Michal didn't have children? So man says, "Ela ema ad eisei maisa eisei Allah mikan meilach lahei Allah." Rather say, you have to explain that the pasuk means that she did not have any more children until the day she died. She did not have any children anymore until the day she died, but after. But beforehand, he had children. She had a child. Yes, right. So, Mara asks, Votsiv, but it says over there, in the, it says over there, in the time, back in the time where he's in Chevron, V'ikachtovid eid plash agshim v'noshim v'yoshlayim. Sorry, not Chevron. When he first came to Yerushalayim, early in Yerushalayim, this is well before the story about Sheva, he took more plagshim and more wives. So, how could you say that he had only six if the pasuk is saying that he took more wives than plagshim? That is the lemaloye shmeinasar. The pasuk is not saying it as he took more wives than plagshim. Now it's saying later on, throughout his reign, he took more wives and more plagshim. Until he reached 18, and then didn't take any more. Well, there's different opinions. Some say that at plagshim are the Rambam holds that plagshim are in the count of 18. The Ravid holds that plagshim are not. So according to the Ravid, then David took 18 in wives and an It's called number of plagshim. According to Rambam, he talks 18 wives and plagshim total. So my nashim, my plagshim. What's us wives and what's us plagshim? So my Rav Yehuda, my Rav, nashim bechsuba v'kedushin, plagshim b'loy chsuba v'loy kedushin. According to Rashi, gives a b'loy chsuba v'kedushin. That a wife has ksuba and kedushin. A wife has a kedushin and suin. A concubine doesn't have ksuba. Doesn't have have the full nesuin. But according to Rashi, he does have kedushin. It's a machlokes b'peinim. Some say that he does have kedushin. Rambam particularly holds that a concubine does not have kedushin. That it's just basically it's the mepharshim explain how before our matan Torah ish pegei ish b'shuk, a man just finds a woman in the street and sleeps with her and that's it. After matan Torah, they became in the mitzvah like yekadesha. They became the mitzvah of marriage. So a plagish is a kadesha is someone who's open and for anyone to sleep with. A plagish is that he designates herself to one person that shall sleep with him. According to Rambam, only a king's allowed to have a plagish. According to other Rishonim, anyone is allowed to have a plagish. And practically, I believe the halacha follows the Rambam. So, the Ben Yehuda explains that plagish is a compound word, palag shame, half of Hashem's name. The power of a proper marriage is when a man and a woman is Aleph Shin, both Aleph Shin, Eish, and the man has Yud, and the woman has the Hey. Together, they make up Hashem's name, Ka. As the Gemara says, Zachu, if they merit, then and they have Hashem's name between them, and Lai Zachu, Eish, Echalas. So, this is, with a proper marriage, then Hashem's name becomes complete, with a husband and wife, but with a plagish going on, with a non actual marriage going on, then it's not. Then Hashem's name isn't complete. It's just it's just a plagish. All right, we'll stop over here. Next subject. Continues discussing a new subject about what's called Yifas and children of Yifas Tayar. All right. So in Yenigo and Mashiach, so continuation of yesterday's Inyan of Moshiach. Since all the rules of Torah are everlasting, so to loss of love, there's still going to be the concept of the Shechtim Shechtim. Yesterday we mentioned how when Moshiach comes, there won't be a need for officers to enforce the judge's law. Because there won't be a tahar, there won't be any desire to go against the shevtim. So now, however, the Rebbe continues that since the Torah is everlasting, there's still going to be a concept of shevtim and shevtim when Mashiach comes.
But some judge the people that did the errors in the past.
The judges can undo that. They won't need officers to enforce the punishment, though. The judge's job is that if Basin doesn't have the power, if the litigant is not listening to the Basin, then the officer forces him to listen.
What is the question? What do you need Shaftim if
the... Well, Shaftim we know why we need. There's always a use, even if no one ever did any Averis whatsoever, there's still always a use for a Mashpia. And even if not Machlekes, Shaftim are also a form of Mashpia. They direct the Jews how to behave. The Sanhedrin Sanhedrin's job, besides for deciding in Halach Lamaisa, is also to teach Yiddishkeit and teach Torah and to make sure Jews are learning and understanding and going further in their Avodas Hashem. So Shaftim, that's why the Pasuk says, V'shiva Shaftayach Kavarishayna. I'll return your Shaftim as they were originally. But it doesn't say V'shiva Shaftayach Kavarishayna Shaftayach Kavarishayna. It could have said V'shaytayach Levatchila and your officers. It doesn't say on your officers, it says and your advisors, and does it give you advice? So what happened to the officers? He said yesterday we don't need them because when Mashiach comes, there won't be a heart, there won't be a desire to go against the judges.
So
now, however, the fact is the pasuk says Shaftim Mashiachim in Titan Lachabacharacha. There should be judges and officers in all your gates. What about when Mashiach comes? So then the judges will be only for a benefit. Beneficial purpose to announce and to make known it and anything that if it says or to help Jews follow the judges is rule willing. For example, to make an easier path for witnesses to follow Kiddush HaChodesh. Their job would be to help the Edim get. Be able to come in and be able to come to the basin, so they're able to come to the basin with ease and quickly. We have a fixed calendar now, but that's the pillow. I'll establish the calendar until Mashiach comes. Hello, the second had Rosh Chodesh, so he knew when Mashiach's going to come, so he set it for until Mashiach comes, and after that. It'll go back to V'shiva Shiftach V'Rishayna. It'll go back to Smicha will be restored. Whether, like how the Rambam suggests, that if all the Chachamim of Yisrael agree, then and Smicha can return, or as the other Rishayim, as the other opinions held when Smicha tried being returned in times, and the In the times of Iskara's teacher, I'm blanking on his name right now, they argued that it will return with Eliyahu Navi and with Mashiach. So, regardless, at that time, then Kiddush HaKadosh will restart too, because Kiddush HaKadosh requires a Beis Din, a Sanhedrin in Musmach. That's why it's not now, that's why it's going to be then. And the halacha from the Rebbe Shachnarach. So yesterday we said that if someone borrows tzitzit from a friend, he doesn't have to, he borrows a four-cornered garment from a friend, he doesn't have to attach tzitzit to it for the first 3 days, but after 3 days he has to attach a midrabanan. So if he desires to attach, now we continue, if he desires to attach tzitzit to the borrowed garment within 3 days and to say a bracha over it, he has the option, it's not fair, bracha l'matala, because though he's not obligated to attach tzitzis to the garment, he can still say the bracha, asher kedushan l'tzatek tzitzis, just as women in say brachas for all the mitzvahs which they're not obligated to fill, But nevertheless, Phil, for the reason it's playing in it earlier in Simon Yazayan, see there. Alright.